I remember the very first live-streamed holy hour and adoration we had here after the stay-at-home order had come into effect. And I remember kneeling right here. I had not thought about how I would spend that hour. All I knew was that I wanted to spend time in the presence of the Blessed Sacrament. However, my prayer instinctively was, "Mercy, Lord, mercy. Have mercy on us and on the whole world." My focus that entire hour, unplanned, was on mercy. More than anything else, I believe these are the days of mercy. These days when uncertainty, despair, fear, and grief rule the world, these are also the days of mercy. Today's Divine Mercy Sunday, the day we revel in the comfort of God's mercy. This is the day that we seek God's mercy, receive God's mercy, are sent forth to bear witness to God's mercy, and we commit ourselves to the gospel mission of mercy. As I reread the story of Maria Faustina, the woman who was responsible for the origin of Divine Mercy Sunday, I realized for the first time how tormented her life was, her very brief life. It also reminded me of how tormented our lives are these days, how tormented the world is these days, and how tormented the poor are these days. These are the days of divine mercy. So let's reflect on the divine mercy in our tormented world. And here are my 3 points for today. First, I want to talk about the story of a tormented woman. The story of Maria Faustina Kowalska is a very tormented yet touching story. Folks, she lived for a very brief 33 years. That's it. The same amount of time we assume that Jesus lived on the face of the earth. Born in 1905, she felt the call to be a religious nun when she was only 7 years old. Of course, her parents refused, and rightly so. Then at 16, after a social dance in the park with her sister, she literally ran away from home to go to Warsaw in Poland. I'm not surprised, but no convent would accept her. One of them even said, "We do not accept maids here." When the Mother Superior of the Congregation of the Sisters of Our Lady of Mercy did receive her, she did not have the money to pay for her religious habit. She then worked as a housemaid to make money that she needed for her religious habit. After her religious profession, and then as a nun, she was often assigned what would then be known as menial tasks in convents, one time as a cook, and the other time as a gardener. But it was in these tormented times that Christ was beginning to reveal himself to her as divine mercy. When she first shared her apparitions, her visions, and her conversations to her other convent companions, nobody believed her. In fact, she was asked to submit herself to a psychological test. Fortunately, When she was found to be of sound mind, her confessor began to give credibility to her mystical experience. Soon thereafter, she was struck with illness. Most people believe that it was tuberculosis. And on October the 5th, 1938, she was gone. Before her death, though, she predicted a terrible war. And now we know that not just one, but there were two terrible wars. Her diary, which she kept throughout these tormented years, has now become legendary. It has also become the prayer of millions of people who pray the Chaplet of Divine Mercy every day. My point is simple. Mercy came to a tormented woman. Where torment is, there is also divine mercy. Secondly, I want to talk about the story of a tormented church. Like Maria Faustina, the post-resurrection early church was a tormented church. However, in the midst of their torment, divine mercy never failed the nascent church. The early church, in fact, basked in the comfort of God's mercy. For example, in today's first reading, Peter says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who in his great mercy, blessed be the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who in his great mercy gave us a new birth to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ." Right? Peter knew exactly what this meant. He was in that room when Christ appeared to the tormented disciples, which is our gospel reading today. Purely out of fear, purely out of despair, out of pure doubt and uncertainty, they had locked themselves in a room. To them, to that tormented church, divine mercy appeared and said, "Peace be with you." Not once, three times, Jesus offered them peace. Who among us does not want to hear that said to us today? But Jesus did something else. Once he calmed their souls, he breathed on them the Holy Spirit and sent them forth on a mission of mercy and reconciliation. Folks, for me personally these days, just as that day my instinct zeroed in on divine mercy, I have spent these days in the arms of divine mercy. Many of you have mailed me, called me, sent me cards to see how I am doing. First of all, let me thank you. I have found great comfort in your concern. And to be honest, I feel very tormented, very anxious, very concerned. There are many. To be honest, I'm very anxious about all of you. I'm anxious about the people in the front lines, and I'm anxious especially about the poor. I feel concerned about my mother and my family in India. My niece is an anesthesiologist, and she will begin her COVID duty this coming week. And I'm terrified for her. Through it all, though, even as I feel anxious and fearful and tormented, for some reason my spirits are high. Honestly, I'm not faking it. My spirits are really high. I have kept myself focused on divine mercy that comes to us in time of torment. I have often put myself in the same room that the disciples were in. I have allowed the mercy of God to sweep over my soul. Gosh, I need it so bad. I've also focused on sharing divine mercy with others. Whether it is channeling food and grocery cards to those in need, helping the poor, having conversations with people, praying with them, live streaming Mass every day, offering encouragement, visiting the dying, bringing comfort at funerals, my task these days is to be the sacrament of mercy. Folks, more than at any other time, these are the days of and for mercy. These days, then, let us rely on mercy. Make an act of faith. Let us rely on mercy. Let us find our strength and hope in divine mercy. Let the same mercy propel us to be sacraments of mercy to a tormented people in a tormented world. And thirdly, the story of a tormented world. Even before COVID-19 hit the world, our world was already a tormented world. Squabbling, artificial and petty wars that claimed thousands of lives, gun violence, partisanship, arms race, leaders trading insults and tirades, people treating other people like scum. This was rampant. And then came coronavirus. While we see so much pain and heartache, though, there's so much beauty and heroism coming to the fore, and that is where my focus is. Hear the story of Jim Mullen. I just read this morning. The headline for his story reads, "He left his family to save strangers. He's not sure if he's coming back." Jim left his home, his beloved wife, and their 2-year-old precious daughter in Dallas, and joined a hospital in New York to be a volunteer nurse in the epicenter of the pandemic. And as I speak about him this morning, he's completing his 21-day straight 12-hour shifts and has seen horror unveiled before his unbelieving eyes. Even now, he does not know how long he will still have to be in New York. When asked about the risk of never making it back home, he said, "What better way to go out?" A few days back, he was signing legal paperwork to make sure that his wife and daughter would be secure as they could be, just if he did not actually make it back. What an amazing story. This is one story among thousands of stories. The stories I call stories of mercy in a tormented world. There are many people today who, in the midst of crisis, are continuing to be partisan, prejudiced, selfish, sowing seeds of distrust. Folks, the world does not belong to them. Rather, our model is the early church in a tormented world. Today, first reading tells us all who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their property and possessions and divide them among all according to each one's need. From this passage develops the Catholic teaching on common good. The Catechism teaches us about the common good. Folks, that is the face of the church in a tormented world. This world belongs to people like Mary Faustina, like Jim Mullen, like Christ, like the early church, who washed the world with rays of mercy. The world belongs to those who show mercy. May you and I be counted as people who made our world a world of divine mercy in these dangerous times. So I want to end this homily with the concluding prayer for the divine chaplet, the chaplet of divine mercy. Pray this with me. Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, that in difficult moments we might not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. And the people of God said, Amen. Amen. I believe.